Bibles, please turn to 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14, we're going to read the first three verses together. Let's do this. I'll read verses 1 and 2 and you join me on verse 3. How's that sound? I'm going to really confuse you a little bit tonight here. So 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. I'll read the first two verses and you can join me on verse number 3. You'll be glad because of all the long names, trust me. 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiadin of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. I need the Holy Spirit to work through me. Help me as I try to instruct our people. Lord, these are your folks. Lord, you love them. I love them. Sure do want them to be a little bit more like you want us to be. So help us to learn from the truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me give you just a little background. The sermon I'll preach is honestly not very complicated, but you're going to need to listen to it to get it. Jehoahaz becomes king of Israel. Remember, Israel, Judah are divided kingdoms. Judah is the southern kingdom. Israel is the northern kingdom. And as you go through the book of Kings, you'll see this person was king of Israel and reigned this many years and slept with his fathers. And then this guy became king of Israel. And this guy's king of Judah and king of Israel, king of Judah, king of Israel. Israel was one nation, but it was divided north-south because of the sins of David's children and Solomon and Rehoboam and Jeroboam and all those things. You have here Jehoahaz becoming king of Israel. He became king for 29 years. God told, says that Jehoahaz did right, but I want you to notice something. Look at verse 3 again. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Here's the statement I want you to get. Yet not like David, his father. Now Jehoahaz was many generations from David. But David was considered the father of the kings. And I want you to know what, in other words, God was saying, he did right, but not to the level of right that David had done. Now, we live in a time, we live in a society that believes to the core that being good is good enough. God tells us here that being good, or may I say it this way, the absence of bad is not good enough. God was telling us that Jehoahaz didn't do bad, but he did not do as much good as David. Now, let me show you what I mean. Simply not doing bad does not make a person good. Let me say that again. Not doing bad does not make someone good. Doing good makes someone good. Amen. You can avoid being drunk, but that doesn't mean you're good. So Jehoahaz was not a bad person, but his level of doing good was not real high. In today's world, we think if a child doesn't get in trouble, he's good. No, one must do good to be good. hang on. We think a teenager who does what he's told is good. No, they're good when they do good without being told to do good. Amen. he may obey, but if he has to be told to obey and forced to obey, it's not good. You know, I remember one day asking my dad a question, and I said, how do you know when you're old enough to get married? He said, when you can give somebody else everything that's been given to you your whole life, then you're ready. When you can provide for someone else what has been provided for you, then you're ready. In other words, it's not just that you have a desire to do it, but you have the wherewithal to do it as well, the character to do it as well. We think that an employee who doesn't get in trouble is good. No. Is he working hard, being productive, and being on time? Just because he doesn't get in trouble on the job doesn't mean he's a good employee. Now, God tells us here that Jehoahaz did good, but he did not do good like King David had done. We have lowered the standard or the bar for being or doing good in our world today. Everybody doing all right? God was not displeased with the good that was being done, but he was wanting more good to come out of his people. He wanted more than them just not doing bad. He wanted them doing good, and not just a little good, but as much good as could be done. Now, say why, so more people could be helped. Christians and churches today seem to think because they're not bad that they're good. I know a lot of churches that use the right Bible, but they're not good churches because they're not doing any good. Everybody doing all right? They try to barometer good by how well the world accepts them or how it makes them feel or how far away from bad they are. Can I tell you something? I cannot judge their motive, and I do not judge their motive, but just because their church is not bad does not mean that they're a good church. They may be doing good, yet not like their father David, the Bible says. Here's what's happened. I watched back in 1980, 81, Lester Roloff used this illustration in my church in Ohio. I've never forgotten. Brother Stoltz, I'm going to have you stand out here for a second. You're going to represent the world. You do it so well. Yeah. Now, I want you to stand right out in front here, right there. Right there. Now, he represents the world. I'll represent the church. Here's what's happened. We 50, 60, 70 years ago, we had a distance between the church or the world and the church. I'm not the world, you are. But as the world went farther to the left, the church changed with it. And the church changed with it. And the church changed with it. Stop right there. The church is still as far away from the world as it's always been. Take one more step. But now the church is more worldly than the world was 60, 70 years ago. Can I tell you what was supposed to happen? Church was supposed to stay here, founded on doctrine, and don't give a flip how far the world goes. We're not supposed to stay the same distance from the world. We're supposed to stay where right is. Thank you, that's Brother good. Stoltz. Have a seat. See, we're comparing ourselves with where the world is and where other churches are other than where the Word of God is. I decided a long time ago when I was a teenage young man and in my early 20s, I make all my decisions based on that, and I don't give a rip what everybody else says or does.
Yes, sir. That's good.
I've been this way a long time. You're not changing me. Amen. And nobody's trying, but I'm just letting you know, doing good is different than being good. Now, I want every person in our church to be all God wants you to be. I don't want us to get sucked up into the thinking of, well, what's wrong with this? My question is this, what's right with it?
Amen.
What is good and what is right with it? The thinking of, well, what's so bad about it? If you have to ask that question, you're going the wrong direction. Yes. You're too close to the world.
That's right.
Can I give you a good, and I'll get into this in a minute maybe, but ladies, if you wonder if you're supposed to wear it or not, don't. If you have to ask if you should or shouldn't, you probably shouldn't.
That's good.
It's that simple. I've been a principal in two different Christian schools. I've had to enforce dress standards for young people for decades. My favorite statement was this: if you checked yourself, we wouldn't have to. The rules were written out. If you just look in the mirror before you left, and if the parents would look at them before they left, I wouldn't have to be the mean guy. You become an adult when you check it yourself, and we don't have to. You know, I don't have anybody that makes me do anything. I have to make myself do it. That means I have to be as mean to me as I am everybody else. And I'm probably harder on me than I am anybody. Now, listen to this very carefully. Every part of our life should be about doing good, not just not being bad. We have a generation of Christians comparing themselves to the world saying, I'm not being bad, but the question is, what good are they doing? Well, we have this program, and we have this program, and we have this program, and we have this program. We're doing a lot of good things. We're not like the world, and we're reaching out into the world, but what good are you doing God-wise? I'm not saying that all the programs are necessarily bad programs, but it's gotten us away from soul winning. Being good is not bad, but God wants us to do good, not just be good. Being a good person or being a good church is not bad, but God wants us to be a church that does good, not just is good.
Amen. Yes.
When a church stops soul winning, they stop doing good. When a church gets more interested in the social aspect of things and people's motives of, well, I think we ought to have the right motive for coming to church. I know churches that the preacher says, don't you come back if you young people come to church for the right reason, or don't come at all. Bless God, you bring them in. I don't give a flip why they come.
Amen. Yes.
If I got the power of God on me, you got the power of God on you, as long as... I'd rather preach to a jerk in the pew than an empty pew.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's good.
As long as they're there, I got a chance. Amen.
Amen.
God's got a chance.
Yes, sir.
If you've gone into bad sin, you need to get up and tell it. That's a bunch of garbage.
Right.
That's not good.
Amen.
Now, let me get into the crux of the sermon. Going to use your Bibles for a few minutes here, and if you'll listen to me, I'm going to dabble in something that may confuse some of you at first, but listen to all the way through, and you'll be okay. First of all, salvation is not just the absence of bad. It's the application of good. Now, let me say right here, you cannot earn your salvation.
Right.
Salvation is by grace through faith alone. Period. End of discussion. But if you went through life sinless, you would still die and go to hell.
That's right.
You could, there was a few guys when I was in college, you know who I'm talking about. There's about a handful of guys, about 8 or 10 guys that they got into this belief that they could go days and days and days and days without sinning. Called it sinless perfection. Brother Hiles found out about it, came out in chapel and expelled them all publicly in college chapel that day. I mean, got up and called them by name and says, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone. We ain't playing with that mess. You say, that was rough. Well, they had sinned. they didn't do well that day, that's for sure. Now, I say that to say this. Salvation is more than just your sin forgiven or having a clean record. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 4. Let me show you something here. Again, you cannot earn your salvation. You don't get saved by works, but just the absence of bad does not save you. Let me show you something. Look at Romans chapter 4. Look at verse number 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Skip down to verse 21. And being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Salvation is the act of God cleansing away our sin, but he also, the Bible uses the word imputes. He adds to our account the righteousness of God.
That's right.
It's not just the lack of sin, it's the addition of righteousness. The moment a person gets saved, God cleans their account from the past, but he adds the righteousness of Christ to your account. It's called imputed righteousness. That's why in Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
That's right.
Ooh, watch this. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Look at verse number 3. Romans chapter 10, verse number 3. The Bible says, for they, being ignorant of whose righteousness? God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Salvation is an act of saying, I am not good enough to get to heaven by myself. I need a Savior. I can't get there on my own because I'm a sinner. I'll trust what Jesus did for me. At that moment, we submit ourselves to the righteousness of God to cleanse us and to add his righteousness to our account. Let me show you something here. This will make sense to you. Did you ever wonder why Jesus had to live on the earth for 33 years? Why didn't he just come down from heaven and die at Calvary and take care of it all? Because Jesus had to live in a body like ours enough righteousness to get us to heaven. He earned our righteousness for us. It took him all those years of living righteous for the righteousness of God to be added to our account. Otherwise, he could have left heaven, come been crucified same day. Get that puppy over with. So he had to live the righteousness necessary for salvation for man. He paid for the righteousness, not us. We get it as a gift. Yes. It's accepted at salvation. Everybody understand that? So, now watch this. So it's not just the absence of sin, it's the presence of the righteousness of God as well.
Yes.
That's why... that's why we don't get to heaven by our good. We get to heaven by his goodness.
Amen.
That's why man's still trying to be God by earning his own righteousness. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. I'll go to church and I'll take communion. I'll get baptized. I'll go to catechism. I'll do Lent. I'll do... we'll do the sprinkle the baby stuff, and we'll do the Hail Marys, and we'll count beads, and we'll pay the priest, and do confessions, and last rites, and all. That's man's way trying to earn righteousness. You don't earn it, you get it by faith.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
None of us are righteous enough to get to heaven. We have to have the righteousness of God added to our account because of our sin. Even if you could go without sin, and you can't, that's not enough to get you to heaven. You have to do the good works. The righteousness has to be there to get you there. Everybody got that? Okay. So salvation is not just the absence of bad, it's the application of good. Number two, simply avoiding bad is not being good. You must do good. Let me say that again. Simply avoiding bad, simply avoiding doing bad, does not make one good. Take your Bible, turn to James. Okay, it's in here somewhere. There it is. Knew it was in here. James chapter 1. Now, I'm going to emphasize some things here, but hang on. James chapter 1, look at verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. Can I tell you something? God says, I don't want you just to hear things, I want you to do things. I don't want you just hearing good, I want you doing good. Can I tell you something? That's why as a Christian, you start growing when you start doing the things of God. You can sit in all the church services you want, soaking up every sermon, soaking up every lesson, and learn, but that doesn't make you a good Christian. You might have some intellectual facts about the Bible, but it doesn't make you a good Christian until you go out and use it. Everybody doing all right? In our society, we get concerned, we get more concerned about what we know instead of what we do. God's not interested in as much as what you know as he is in what you're doing. This might shock you. Did you know that when you get to heaven, God's not going to be hold you accountable for how many facts about the Bible you know? He's going to judge you by your works. All of these churches that are now turning into these intellectual institutions where we have to train. We've got to go through 6 weeks of this class for new converts, and then 6 more weeks, and then 6 more weeks of discipleship. We must be disciples. Says who? God didn't command any Christian to be a disciple. He said, if you be my disciple. He commanded every Christian to grow in grace. Now, I'm not going to fight over terminology. I understand what many of them mean, but many of what they mean has turned into intellectualism, and they're no longer doing, they're just learning.
Yes, sir.
The best way to grow as a Christian is to go out and start going soul winning. Go meet somebody's need.
Yes, sir.
Best way to grow as a child is to start doing things without being told to do it. You do it because you're supposed to do it.
That's right.
You know, growing up, I knew, I don't remember when it was now because it's a long time ago, but we knew what day trash day was. We knew whose week it was to take the trash out. We weren't supposed to have our dad or mom remind us it's trash day. You got to take trash out 14 times before it got there. We may have taken it out. And by the way, we wouldn't have necessarily had a bad attitude in taking it out, but we became mature when we took it out without having to be told. We grew up when we didn't have to have mommy and daddy tell us to do it. Now, just because we didn't do it with a bad attitude didn't mean that we were good kids. Everybody doing all right? Now, hang in there. We get too concerned about what we know and not what we do. Did you know the more you use what you know, the more you'll learn? I'm going to tell you a secret. Deeper lifers aren't very deep. They're about as shallow as they get. That's why they got to study all the other, they got to come up with things that aren't even in the Bible. Did you ever notice the deeper lifers are the ones that have to have the simpler Bibles?
Yeah.
It cracks me up. They call me shallow because I believe in the King James only. I believe in standards. I believe in soul winning. I believe in all those things. You're shallow. Now, instead of going soul winning, we call soul winning going out and putting tracks on doors and door hangers and taking surveys. Well, that's soul winning. That's not soul winning. That's putting tracks on doors and that's hanging out hangers on doors. You can be born in a garage, but that doesn't make you a car. Unless you have to put a key in you and you go, when they turn the key and they fill you full of gas, when the gas runs out, you're not a car. You know, It's not a good church because it has all the pretty programs and training sessions. Good churches have people who go out and get people saved and bring them to church, and it's an active place. We have a good church not because we are necessarily good people, but we're doing good things according to the Word of God. I loved it when Brother Stoltz jumps off the bus and says, got one visitor for you, preacher, introduces her to me and says, guess what she learned on the way to church this morning. As soon as he got to that point, I knew what it was, but I was letting him tell me. He said she learned how she could know for sure she'd go into heaven when she died, and she got saved today. Big old grin come across that little girl's face. I said, praise the Lord, I'm so proud of you. I said, isn't that the most wonderful thing? Like, glory to God. That's called a good church. Everybody doing all right? Being a nice person is not a person who just avoids being mean and nasty. To be a nice person, you have to be doing nice things. Just because you don't grump and growl at everybody doesn't mean you're a nice person. A good parent is not one who avoids being bad or mean. It's a parent who does good for and does good with their child. And one who beats his son in golf. can I tell you something? I love the fact that being a parent isn't just avoiding some of the mean. You know that sometimes being a good parent means you have to be a little tough on your kids? I was playing golf with Jeff Tuesday when we were in Kentucky, and he was having a rough round. About 5 or 6 holes into this thing, he's about ready to chuck a whole set of clubs right into the water. I said, Jeff, he said, I need to go start over. I said, no, just play this hole. He said, tried that last hole. I said, that last hole's gone, can't play it again. Let's play this one. I said, matter of fact, why don't you just hit this shot? I said, you're trying to beat me too hard. Let's just have fun. Forget the score. Let's just have fun. At the end of 9 holes, he's 11 shots behind. He said, I got no hope. Well, I only ended up beating him by 15, which means he did 5-6 shots better on the back 9 than he did the front 9. See, he did it better. He said, still not good. So he goes to the chiropractor 2 days later and finds out his hip was out of place. He said, I think my hip was affecting me, Dad. I said, it may have been, but do you know how long my back has been bad? I said, I blew 2 discs in my back years ago. I said, and my hip was bad before you were ever even thought of. We laughed about it. A good parent isn't one who avoids being bad or being mean. It's one who does good and teaches their children to do good. A good child is not one who doesn't get in trouble. A good child is one that does good. Just not getting in trouble does not make one good.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Doing good is what makes one good.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? So, gotta hurry. Number one, salvation is not just the absence of bad, it's the application of good. 2, simply avoiding bad is not being good. You must do good. And number 3, Bible standards are not just avoiding being bad or the world. It's the presence of doing good with your standards. Now, hang in there for a second. By the way, I can go back to this last point. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know to do good, but you don't do it, you've sinned. That's bad. So just simply knowing what good is doesn't do you any good. You're supposed to do good. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, not knoweth it not, doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's a lot of Christians out there that know what good they're supposed to do, but they don't do it. But they think because they're not doing bad, they're okay. Well, I'm not getting drunk, I'm not getting high, I'm not getting fired, and I'm not late to my job, or I'm not beating my wife, or you ladies beating your husband. I'm not doing any of those things, therefore I'm not bad, but what good are you doing? Number 3, Bible standards are not just avoiding being bad. It's the presence of doing good. Let me say this. I believe in convictions and standards scripturally.
you're looking at a man that believes in probably stronger than most anybody you've ever met. I've believed him a long time. Did you know Bible standards haven't changed? My dad's back there nodding his head because he knows at the age of 13 and 14, I was preaching the same thing I'm preaching right now. And please don't take this the wrong way. I preached against women wearing breeches when my pastor's wife was wearing them. Am I lying? Bunch of teenagers got on fire for God, and we changed how the adults dressed. That's what got the church on fire. Everybody doing all right? Now, don't get mad at me. We're not to compare our dress standards with the world and the liberals. We're supposed to compare our dress standards with what God wants.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? The length of the skirt doesn't change because society changes. It's supposed to cover the knees. The top of a lady's top isn't supposed to expose too much stuff. You're supposed to keep yourself covered. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Shorts are wrong on guys and girls if your knees are uncovered.
Yes, sir, it's right. Go on.
Yep. Whether you're sitting down or standing up. I know ladies that can wear a skirt that's the right length till they sit down, and then it goes, and it's not modest anymore. It's not a modest skirt. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm having fun. God didn't change his standard. By the way, I'm not mad. But just because we look better than the world looks doesn't mean that it's right.
That's right.
Just because the public school standard is that a girl's skirt doesn't have to be any longer than the tip of her finger, and yours is about 5 inches longer, doesn't make it a right skirt.
That's right.
Just because your skirt goes all the way to the floor, but you got a slit all the way up to your hip, doesn't make it right.
Amen.
If it's so tight we can read the brand of underwear you got on, it ain't right, guy or girl.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Let's face it.
Amen.
The purpose of covering the body is to cover the shape and some of the ugliness on us men. Amen. You see, God wants us to be like he wants. It's not the absence of the bad, it's the presence of doing it right. Boy, that's a good statement. Our standards of music are not to be culturally acceptable. How about doing it God's way? I know enough about music and music history that the average Baptist church in America today thinks they're spiritual because their music is more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. Most of the orchestration used in churches today is not scripturally good music. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I believe we ought to sing the right songs, and we do around here.
Amen.
My wife and I sat down to lunch this afternoon, and she was commenting on Brother Stoltz's special this morning and how good it was, and that's an old song. Some of you have probably never even heard that song, but that's an old song. We go back and get the old songs. I know when some of the songs that are sung have been published. I guess I've lived a long time. But we go back and get some of the really, really old songs that were written before some of you were born. And that's a long time ago. Especially for my dad. I was going to say my mom, but I didn't want to get in trouble. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? What's wrong with the old music?
That's right. Amen.
I like peppy music, but I don't like the slidey music. I don't like the breathy, sensual music.
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody look at me. I love you. Did you ever see a picture of the Beatles in the early 1960s, late 1950s?
Yes, sir.
And all the parents were complaining about those worldly, nasty haircuts. Do you know that they would pass better than most Southern gospel Christian contemporary music groups today?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Most of the time wore a suit.
Yeah, buddy. Shirt and tie, coat and tie.
the Beatles dressed more conservatively than quote-unquote Christian groups today.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And the world was, the church has become more worldly than the church was 60 years ago.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Now, that's why we get into all this. I'm death on, Brother Stoltz will tell you, I'm death on this slidey stuff. If you can't sing it clean, don't sing it. If you can't figure out where it's at, practice it some more. But stuff doesn't get... Say, where'd that come from? The contemporary sensualism.
Yes, sir.
I'm not against an upbeat song, but I don't want the syncopation and the rock beat with it either.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I know more about music than most people will give me credit for. But Brother Stoltz will tell you, I watch it pretty close.
Yes, sir.
I watch it pretty close. I'm careful about what I play on our speaker system. I want it to be the right kind of music. Now, we can go to the ridiculous end. I believe in good music. Okay? I got one more thing here, or two, and then I'll shut her down. Soul winning and telling others about Jesus is not lifestyle evangelism. It's confrontational.
Yes, sir.
It's not, well, let's just live right and everybody will come to you and say, what must I do to be saved? Gag.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, if you live right, people will want what you have and they'll come to you and say that they need to get saved. Lost people don't understand that terminology. Jesus didn't say go into all the world and live the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
He said, go ye therefore and live like a Christian, and everybody will come and get saved and baptized. No, he said, therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes, sir.
He said, be filled with the Holy Ghost and go and knock door to door, house to house, person to person, and give them the gospel. So it's not a matter of how good you live or how suave you are or how much Bible you can exegete or execute or whatever they call that mess. Jesus said, go out and do it. Well, those methods don't work in our society today. Puke. Somebody sent me a link to a guy that used to teach at the college where I was at. He's now pastoring in a distant state. Long-haired maggot. I'm not kidding. He's got hair just as whirly. His wife sings in the Metropolitan Operas, and he plays for them and does all these Carnegie Hall stuff and stuff. And he's got a church, and we're a modern contemporary church. Got his drum sets and everything else in there. Now watch this. They sent me this clip, and he was talking about seeing people get saved. And he said, I was part of one of those churches that went out going soul winning and knocking on doors, going house to house. How many of you want to do that? It's not going to work in our area. Oh. But you rascal. I hope to God, yeah, that was the nicest word I could say in public. I hope to God you send your diploma back from where you got it. Bunch of reprobates. Changed all their standards, all their convictions. They got a church without any denominational label to it. It's a non-denominational hodgepodge of garbage.
That's right.
But I listened to the man make the statement. This is what he said. That won't work in our society today. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where God said do it until it changes in society.
Amen.
He changed, God didn't.
That's right.
And I got people that used to be my teachers in college still preaching for the jerk. Now, I'm not changing what God said. I'm just going to obey it. Bible standards are doing good when they're God's, not just being good by living a little away from what the world is. Being good is, well, I'm not like the world. Doing good is Bible standards, not man standards.
Yes,
So, I'll review and I'm done. Salvation is not just the absence of bad, it's the application of good. Simply avoiding bad is not being good. You must do good. Thirdly, Bible standards are not just avoiding being bad, it's the presence of doing good God's way. Jehoahaz was being good, but he wasn't doing good like David, his father. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David, his father. He did according to all that Joash, his father, did. He did a level of good, but he didn't go far enough. I'm for any church seeing somebody get saved. Just because they have five people saved this year doesn't mean I'm going to get up and lamb blast them, but I'd like to see them have 500 saved, not just five. I'm happy for the five that got saved. But I think God wants them to do more than that. Let's take our doing good to another level. As you read through 1 and 2 Kings, you'll find out this person did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. This person did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not like David his father. About three or four times you'll see that this person did right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. Woo-hoo! Those are the greatest kings of Israel and Judah. That one little statement, not like David, his father. What a fascinating statement. Being good isn't good enough. God wants us to do good. By the way, you can't be good without doing good. Simply avoiding the wrong, simply avoiding bad, avoiding evil is not good. There has to be a presence of doing good for it to be good. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We all need this truth. We all need reminded of this truth.